You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Brother, I think I got to do some text messages before I get too far down the line because I got this great dipper we're going to do next called Duty, Honor, Country. But apparently there's a bunch of y'all that got input on the show. Reaching back to the segment we did earlier, Brian from Huntsville says, methane from the mouth. Hillary could power D.C. and Virginia.
Nice.
Just, you know, eating that turd sandwich and there you go. Robert from Athens says, if humans are the source of global warming, how did all the ice age melt without human intervention so that land was habitable? No matter how good or nefarious their intentions, you can't control the sun.
Quit trying to figure it out.
He makes excellent points, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, the ice age went away without humans being here to breathe methane. Just saying. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, eventually the liberals will suffocate anyway when they become too dumb to breathe. He said, before I would have sprang to action to help them, but then they would have probably called me a climate denier. Mike from Huntsville says, the DNC wants the helpless stooges of America trapped in their stupid electric exploding charges. Now, these electric vehicles that are so volatile that they are not allowed to be parked in your garage, like the Wuhan lab bioweapon, it's a plandemic, no accidentally ignorant thinking. All right, Mike's got opinions. There you go. It's all part of the plot. Marshall from Dubai, we haven't seen him in a while. He says, Phil, the rumors of my demise were severely exaggerated. Keep your powder dry and your head on a swivel. There you go, Marshall. Appreciate you. Glad to hear you're out there. Brian from Decatur says, when I said earlier, people talking about flatulence and everything else, I said the show has digressed. He goes, it's not your show that's digressed. It's sadly society. It's horrible research done without addressing the multitude of other variables. I wake up every day shocked at what is news. He said, I'll bet money there will be a last-minute injunction on the Jeffrey Epstein. He switches gears here. I'll bet money there will be a last-minute injunction to withhold that list, or at the very least, massive amounts of redaction. I was right about the spy balloon, so he's all over the place, man. Scott from Athens, what if Joe Biden's on the list? Bum, bum, bum.
Stricken him from all the ballots.
I say get him off the ballot, buddy. Devin from Brownsboro says, I agree with Butters. As much as I really want to feel like they did it, we should do it too. I do believe removing Biden from the ticket would actually hurt our chances because the longer this plays out, the worse Biden looks. If by some chance Trump is disqualified from running, I'm definitely going to be writing in McQueen's name.
We'll let her know.
McQueen from president. We'll pass that on. Gary from Decatur says, like the list of congressmen that use taxpayer dollars to pay for sexual harassment suits while in office. Can't wait to see how many redactions or omissions there are on the Epstein list. I read this morning, by the way, that the judge has only allowed 3 redactions, and that the list will be published in its entirety with only 3 redactions, those 3 being 2 are apparently were minors who were trafficked, and they have not consented to their names being made known. And one of them was someone who the judge determined had been incorrectly identified. And until they have that clarified, she's not going to have their name on it. So
if that judge went through all those name by name, that...
I think there's only 174 names on the list.
He better have some good security. I'm just saying.
It's a she, by the way. Female judge.
She.
Yeah. Teresa from Town Creek. People are posting Epstein's list on Telegram and Twitter. I have not seen it. I didn't think it was out yet, so we need to find that. See if you can find it there, Butters. You checking it out? John from Huntsville says, way to go, Lee. Best performance ever. I think we ought to have people like you as a judge on the Supreme Court. May require a law degree, but there's that. She did do it. That was sharp.
There are judgeships you can get without being a lawyer, right?
Probate judges. Just probate, yeah. Which, by probate is not a court of equity, they call it. So it's... In Alabama, we are one of the states that does largely allow non-law degree judges on probate courts. So, and like
could folks do worse than the Colorado Supreme Court?
I have seen some that really needed a law degree, and I've seen some that's like, okay, you're sharper than any lawyer I know, so I think we're fine. JT Lacey Springs says cows eat grass and fart, so do vegans. Thank you, JT. There you have it. Your biology lesson for the day. We just went to science class right there.
That sums up today's show right there.
Yeah. That reminds me of when at our church years ago, the pastor used to have, before the Sunday night service, he used to have like the kids moment. And all the little kids would come up and they'd get up there by the front with the pastor for a few minutes. And he would just have a little devotion for them. And then they would go to kids church, right? And sometimes he would say, does anyone have a Bible verse or something you want to share? And little guy raises his hand. It was so good. He goes, I've forgotten his name, so I'll call him Little Jimmy. Yes, Little Jimmy, what have you got? God made cows. He said, well, yes, he did. And so that was the sum total of his biblical knowledge, but it was enough. He knew that God made the cows.
Amen.
There you go. What else we got here? Mr. Hill from Pumpkin Center is sending me a meme. What is it you sent me? It's something about climate change. I'll have to check it out in a little bit. Lastly, I will say Mark from Laredo, Tennessee says, y'all have a blessed and merry Christmas. God bless everyone. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you, man. And we'll be focusing more on Christmas tomorrow, just so you know, heading into the Christmas weekend. So, y'all join us in that. Which reminds me, by the way, you guys, before I kick off this next dipper, if you're on social media, specifically if you're on Twitter or Instagram, I would encourage you, first of all, go follow the Right Side pages. Right Side Radio is on Twitter and Instagram. And then I am personally also on Twitter at Sin, that's S-E-N, at Sin Phil Williams. But we just posted a little while ago before the show started, we just posted a Christmas survey. And it's little stuff like, you know, have you finished your shopping yet? Have you finished your wrapping yet? And then the big question you have to work through to get to is only five questions, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? I'm curious. We're going to read the results out tomorrow, so I want to see the results. If you would, go there and send it to a friend, spread that thing around, and let's get some participation in the Right Side Christmas survey. Did you find it? Is the Epstein list out?
Alleged victims associated to be made public in 2024, according to documents. This is just a CNN.
They're waiting to 2024 now?
That's just what's popping up on the old Googles.
Somebody's going to die first. I'm just saying. This ain't good. When was that story written? Do you have a dateline on that story? If that came out 3 weeks ago, it's
12/19.
That'd be yesterday. Two days ago.
Oh,
okay. We'll find out. But it should be. I thought it was going to be coming out this afternoon. Anyway. All right. Butters, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. And going to kick off number two on the Triple Dipper, Duty, Honor, Country. Y'all, this is a good one. This one's going to warm the cockles of your little ruffian hearts. So y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, you know, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, I'll tell you who else is saving the world one patient at a time. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. So listen, Southern Immediate Care, if you're not familiar, they are a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of our huge listening area. So Southern Immediate Care, with locations in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, and now six locations around the Birmingham area. And by the way, hint, hint, I hear more are coming. Yeah, Southern Immediate Care, open 7 days a week, y'all. You get sick on a Saturday morning, you can go see somebody. You don't wait till Monday. Well, Southern Immediate Care will see all ages, too. So, like, pediatric all the way to geriatric. Walk-ins are welcome. And you can get your shots, your x-rays right there on site. Listen, and I'll be honest with you, this is who I use. And no, I do not use them because they advertise. I was using them for quite a while and finally thought, I got to ask them if they'll advertise. And they said, yeah. And because I was pleased. I mean, I knew I could stand up here and say this kind of stuff and it'd be taken seriously because this is literally who I use. Every time I've walked in the front door of a Southern Immediate Care facility, it's always been like, you know, super well-maintained, clean, friendly, professional, get you in, get you out. And they are, like I said, growing like crazy. They're all over the place. Southern Immediate Care. And they are owned by a Right Side Ruffian. How about that? You go on in, check them out. When you're filling out your forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. All right. So next section I'm doing, I'm calling it Duty, Honor, Country. So I'll start off with what I would consider to be the negative side. This is where I was headed when I first started resourcing my dipper. This one came off AmericanMilitaryNews.com. Story came out 2 days ago. The United States military has missed its recruiting goal by a combined total of 41,000 personnel across the various branches in 2023. The acting undersecretary for the Pentagon's Personnel and Readiness, Ashish Vazirani, recently confirmed to Congress that the U.S. Armed Forces missed recruiting goals by 41,000 recruits in the fiscal year of 2023. Here's the breakdown. Army is expected to have 445,000 active duty. That's 8.4% decrease. The U.S. Navy, 10,000 sailors, a 3% decrease. U.S. Air Force, 13,475 airmen. That's a 4% reduction. U.S. Marine Corps, 8,900 active duty. That's a 5% reduction. Now, this guy, I assume Ashish Vazirani is a male, so that may be a negative assumption on my part. But nonetheless, Vazirani says, wait for this, recruitment has been hindered by a strong economy. I just said that out loud, and Butters gave me the look.
Whose economy is he talking about?
I don't know. Australia? I don't know. According to Vazirani, recruitment has been hindered by a strong economy, which has provided young Americans with more options to choose from. He also claimed the United States currently has a smaller population eligible for military recruitment. And then he says, Generation Z has a low level of trust in institutions, less likely than the previous generations to follow traditional career paths, fewer relatives who served in the military. Fewer relatives who served in the military after a 20-year war? My God, almost everybody in uniform had a deployment. So I would question that. And anyway, all said and done, my intent was to just really dissect that. To spend time just dissecting this whole notion of recruiting being a failure and whether we got wokeism in the military impacting the ranks. And then I came across an article, and it, like, just encouraged me. So all you out there, I mean, I know who my audience is. All you Right Side Ruffians, many of whom I know are veterans or have veterans in your family. A lot of y'all are green suiters on active duty at Redstone and other places, and some of y'all are in the defense industry. I know there's a whole bunch of folks out there that care about this. But I read that 41,000 off on the recruiting goals. This is the smallest U.S. military since pre-World War II. Did you know that? The smallest since pre-World War II. That's 80 years ago. And I find myself thinking, good gosh. And then I find this article from the New York Post that came out 3 weeks ago. I had not really clued into this. Utah State quarterback Levi Williams, who, by the way, just became the Mountain West Offensive Player of the Week, who led his team, Utah State, to a Mountain West Conference overtime win. A great football player for his conference, his team. Utah State Aggies quarterback Levi Williams will forfeit his last year of eligibility instead to leave and prepare for Navy SEAL training, following in the footsteps of his family to protect this great country. Williams, a junior at Utah State, made the special announcement on a local radio show in Salt Lake City, revealing that he would start his new journey right after the team's upcoming bowl game. His mother served in the Army. His grandparents were Army and Navy. And he said, I think this is the best country in the world. I want to keep it that way and protect it as long as I can. So he's entering into the Navy, the intent to go to OCS and then with a selection for SEAL training. And he says the life-changing conversation he had with his fiance kind of wrapped it up. He said, this is what his words were. This is what a great kid. I mean, think about this. This kid's probably 21 years old. He said, I told her, I said, hey, I need to talk to you about something really serious. This is what's on my heart. It's where I feel like God's calling me. Are you hearing this conversation? Williams recalled, she said, that's awesome. Let's do it. I'm with you to the end. Her dad was also in the Army, and so she knows military life. The bottom line is this. The kid was just named a conference player of the week. He led his team to an overtime win for a conference championship. He's the starting quarterback for Utah State. He's about to play in a bowl game. And he has another year of eligibility left. What could he do? And he decided, you know what? I'm going to put that aside. I'm going to go serve my country. Because sometimes duty, honor, and country is still out there. And for all of what Ashish Vazirani, the Undersecretary for Personnel and Readiness, had to say, I think there is still a generation out there that if you gave them good reasons, if you gave them good leadership, you would find that there would be people that would still serve heartily, and the ranks would be swelled up. Swelled up. It starts with leadership. It starts from the top down. It starts with them knowing that if they give up something, they're going to gain so much more for it. Right now, we are not seeing that being given to them. And it's still, in my opinion, it is still an honor. We had a Sparky from Harvest called in one day, and we were having a discussion, and he asked me, what would you tell them? I think it was Sparky. He asked me, what would you tell them if you had, you know, one of your own family members or young family members that was thinking about serving? I would say, go for it. I think it's still an honorable service. I know I'm sitting here with Butters. You served. It's been in my family. It's been something that has been generational. And I got a series of those stories. It's not just Levi Williams, Utah State quarterback. I got a series of stories. I mean, I'm going to go down a list of people who had everything and decided to give it up to go serve because they saw duty, honor, and country as being bigger than just whatever job or moment they were in. And I don't want to lose sight of that. I still think that this city is a city on a shining city on a hill. I do believe that we are a light to the world. And I do believe that we are the last great hope for democracy in the world. And I don't say that lightly. That's not drama or hyperbole. I really believe that. And so duty, honor, country. If you've never read, by the way, MacArthur's speech, which is emblazoned on the wall at West Point, his duty, honor, country speech is one of the most epic speeches you could ever read. You're going to want to go storm the hill when the time comes. You go read it. It's like, to me, it's one of those speeches right up there with like Reagan's Rendezvous with Destiny speech or Teddy Roosevelt giving his speech at the Marne about the man in the arena. Then there's General MacArthur, duty, honor, country. So I am stoked to find out there's still kids like quarterback Levi Williams at Utah State who's going to willing to give up his last year of eligibility because he wants to go be a Navy SEAL. I'm saying, man, these kids are out there. Let's go find them. Duty, honor, country. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
Hey,
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. This would be Alabama. And I'm talking about y'all. This show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I'll tell you who else covers a whole lot of ground. That's our friends at ZLA Solutions. I mean, they have grown so much. And if you have a business, it doesn't matter what kind, doesn't matter what size, you may want to consider ZLA Solutions as a company that can not only help you with business solutions like logistics and warehousing and quality control and things like that. They can also, by the way, help you find people. And apparently, based upon the labor participation rate in Alabama, a lot of folks need to find people. So yeah, if you want to get your business improved, made better, so to speak, you might want to contact ZLA Solutions. They can find the blue collar, white collar, and no collar people that you need. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. And they can do it for you no matter where you are. They are way beyond our listening area even. So check them out. Their website is ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I'm in this section, Duty, Honor, Country, and I am spending some time talking about, and I guess I'm encouraging myself in this as much as anything, all right? I am bothered by reports I see of kids in the military, putting out on TikTok videos, you don't even bother joining the military, it sucks, man. But they're saying it for all the wrong reasons, like, you know, I don't have privacy. Well, you're in the military, dude. I mean, that's part of it. Sleep in the barracks, all right? That's what you do. You earn your bones, all right? But they need mentors. They need some graybeards come in there and go, snap it up. But nonetheless, that being said, I still think there's a whole bunch of kids out there that are eager to do something meaningful, that if they felt like that the military was being led, directed, empowered by those who really had their best interest at heart, I think it would be a whole different day for recruiting. Because I look at stories like what I showed you a minute ago about this kid, Utah State Aggies quarterback Levi Williams, he's had an amazing season, an award-winning season, but he's going to forfeit his last year of eligibility because he wants to go be a Navy SEAL. And it reminded me that there were others. Do you remember Pat Tillman? Pat Tillman. Last month would have been his 47th birthday. Pat Tillman, he was a star football player, Arizona State University Sun Devils. He was a fan favorite. He was a linebacker. He was only 5'11", but he was like, you know, he was like the Honey Badger guy, right? He was just like, he was just unstoppable. He had an indomitable personality too. He was a leader among his peers. But after 9/11, he decided, you know what? I'm leaving my NFL career because after playing so well at ASU, he got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, he had the dream. He was already making a splash as a freshman in the Arizona Cardinals, and he decided to join the military. So he joined the U.S. Army. He selected the Ranger option. He made it through all the phases. He was in Ranger Regiment. He was actually killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan in April of 2004. Heck of a thing. Posthumously, he received the Silver Star, Purple Heart, and he's been inducted to the Arizona Cardinals Ring of Honor. Pat Tillman. I mean, the guy looked like a poster. They should use his picture on recruiting posters nationwide right now. But Pat Tillman gave up everything, duty, honor, country. But there's been a tradition of things like, and by the way, this list is by no means exhaustive. All right, there are people who either were drafted or chose not to avoid the draft, or for that matter, just enlisted during times when they were needed. How about Rocky Blyer? Anybody remember Rocky Blyer? Rocky Blyer. Oh my gosh, that guy was, this is like old school Pittsburgh Steelers stuff, right? Rocky Blyer was drafted technically twice in 1 year. Drafted first by the Pittsburgh Steelers, but because it was the Vietnam era, then he was drafted to head to Vietnam. So Rocky Blyer left his career in NFL and he went to combat duty in Southeast Asia. And he wound up being, he was an 11 series guy, so he was an infantryman. He was assigned to the 196th Light Infantry Brigade. His company was working in a place called LZ Siberia, and one day in August of 69, they found out one of their sister companies had been ambushed, and he wound up being sent in, and it turned out to be a total bloody mess, apparently. Rocky Blyer wound up spending 2 days in a pretty much nonstop firefight, and at one point, I think it was actually a grenade. Yeah, it was a grenade that got thrown in. He and his CO were in the same position. He said, it hit my commanding officer who I was lying next to. It bounced off his back. It rolled between my legs. By the time I jumped to get up, it blew up, and I was standing on top of it. It blew up on my right foot, my knee, my thigh, and my commanding officer caught a lot of shrapnel as well. Rocky Blyer was told he would never again have the flexibility and strength to perform at the NFL level. But he came back to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he ran for 3,800 yards on 922 carries. And got, I think, two or three Super Bowl rings, MVP. But this is a guy who had everything, but he didn't even hesitate. And there was no effort even, by the way, to say, can you give him light duty? Can you put him where we need him to, you know, to stay rested so he can come back and play football? The guy went and did duty, honor, and country, and, you know, came home. And then there's some that you look at and go, wow. I mean, was there a way out? If there was a way out, Elvis Presley would have had a way out, I would imagine. Elvis Presley was drafted by the U.S. Army in 1957. The dude was already a rock and roll star. He was a legend already. And by the way, yes, his did have a bit of a showcase element to it going into the Army. It did. But he also thoroughly enjoyed it. He looked back on it years later and talked about how much he loved having served in uniform. Is there a generation right now of what I would call, you know, the music entertainers? Would they quit what they're doing to go do if they were called? And I'll be honest with you, I think there's still some that would. I really do. And I think that's we need to remind ourselves these people are out there as we see recruiting numbers in the tank. Yeah, what you got, bud?
Just look at all the guys that jumped on into the USO stuff and multiple trips to Iraq and you know, the entertainers.
How many years did Bob Hope go entertain the troops?
Yeah.
There's my Ted Nugent autograph right over there behind us here in the studio. I got that in Baghdad.
I mean, they're not putting on a uniform, but they're going, yeah, this is needed, and it is needed.
I would agree. How about Jimmy Stewart? Remember Jimmy Stewart? All right, now, here we are in the Christmas season. It's a Wonderful Life is still one of the best movies ever made. It is the lovely Charlene's favorite movie, by the way, that and Sound of Music. But Jimmy Stewart, in March of 41, he was already a movie star. And you would have, by the way, he didn't have to do some things he did. In fact, he insisted on doing the things he did. But Jimmy Stewart, he actually was assigned to the Army Air Corps when the draft came. He didn't try to defer. He didn't try to fuss. He didn't find a way to go light duty or can I please just be a cameraman since I've got a motion picker background? And actually, in some ways, the military actually asked him. The War Department wanted him to do stuff like that. They thought it'd be good for morale and good for recruiting. He said no. And he insisted that he be allowed to finish his pilot training. And Jimmy Stewart flew B-26 Marauders. He did 20 combat bombing missions over Europe. He wound up becoming a squadron commander. And I don't mean like it was a gimme. I read the biography. There's a biography out there. It's a great book. It's just called Jimmy Stewart, Bomber Pilot. And it's a great book if you haven't read it. But he got his commission, served in that capacity, was the commanding officer of the 703rd Bomb Squadron flying B-24s. And then on top of that, he got out of World War II fairly well decorated, and stayed in the Air Force Reserves until he retired as a Brigadier General in 1968. He actually flew missions in Korea. And then he flew one bombing mission in Vietnam. He's one of the only men to have flown combat missions in all three of those wars.
Wow.
Jimmy Stewart didn't have to do it.
No.
But I believe those people are still out there. And then the last one I got before we go to the break. And this one, this is something else, man. I don't know that I can even scratch the surface on this story. But there was a great baseball, one of the legends of baseball, Warren Spahn. Warren Spahn, he is still to this day one of the greatest left-handed pitchers ever to play in the major leagues. Cy Young Award winner, had 13 years of 20 or more wins, 14 All-Star games, pitched two no-hitters, had a 4-3 record in three World Series games, in the Hall of Fame. He was also a combat engineer in the Battle of the Bulge. And he left, by the way, to go and fight. He earned a Bronze Star in the Battle of the Bulge. He was actually, I believe, where was he? I think he was involved in the Remagen River Operation Market Garden, I think he was actually heavily wounded. But Warren Spahn came back after the war, played baseball some more. But he looked back on his wartime experiences with a positive light. He said, after the war, he said, "After what I went through overseas, I never thought of anything I was told to do in baseball as hard work." He said, "You get over feeling like that when you spend days on end sleeping in frozen tracks, tank tracks, and enemy-threatened territory." So the Army taught me something about challenges and about what's important and what isn't. And everything I tackle in baseball and in life, I take as a challenge rather than work. That's the kind of thing that I think kids today need to hear. I think duty, honor, country is still out there. And if they had somebody telling them the examples of people like Warren Spahn who said, "Yeah, I was in the Battle of the Bulge, and I look back on my time in the service as having taught me how to appreciate life." Pat Tillman, you know, this kid from Utah State, all of it. Are they just in the past? No, one of those is right now in the present. And I'm thinking there's a lot more of them. It's about leadership, y'all. It's about leadership. Duty, honor, country. There you have it. All right, let's take a break. Last break of the day. We'll come right back. Obviously, it was a two-dipper day, but it is a good one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. And I tell you, by the way, I tell you who else has got some great superpower common sense. That's the folks at the Elm Foundation, ELM, the Elm Foundation. Listen, they're doing some cool stuff right now, helping people get back on their feet with what I would term as a hand up, not a hand out. If you're not familiar, the Elm Foundation, they're a 501c3 based out of Huntsville. Their mission in life is get people off the streets, help them find dignity and self-worth again through like having a work ethic and a plan for productivity. And it may mean that they have to give them the opportunities for childcare or help them to find living space or, for that matter, job skills or just resume building. But then they also do things that are so conservative and you would like it, like accountability, like having a plan, like hitting your milestones. And y'all, they're not like a government thing where they throw money at it to see if it sticks. They're doing amazing work. And by the way, being a 501c3, this is year end. So a lot of folks are looking at charitable giving right now. You may want to consider the Elm Foundation. So let me encourage you to take a look at their website, Elm HSV, because they're in Huntsville, elmhsv.org. That's the Elm Foundation at elmhsv.org. A couple of text messages, and I believe I got somebody on the phone. So John from Huntsville says, "Hank Greenberg had already served early 1942, re-enlisted, losing $55,000 a year salary. Would be like $50 million a year player today. He did it because, quote, my country comes first." Love that. That was John M. from Huntsville, by the way. JT Lacey Springs, Ted Williams, baseball to the Army and back to baseball. Yes, indeed. Unknown, Craig from Harvest, brand new with the text line, Craig from Harvest. Says, regarding the recent recruitment, military recruitment issues and their search for answers, the services need to include in their polls those who are currently serving and how likely they would recommend their children join the armed services. I'm a 20-year member currently serving. I hope my kids choose something else. Loss in confidence and ability to command doesn't just flow from higher to lower. I get it, man. And Craig, thanks for your service, by the way. I served, and my son's on active duty right now. I still think it's an honorable opportunity, and we need good people in the ranks to turn things around. It is about leadership. I really do believe that. Let me grab the phones before I run out of time. Is that Allie? Allie from Athens is on line one. Hey, Allie, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, and I want to tell you a story about a young man that fits the description of somebody who, against all odds, wants to be part of something greater than themselves. When I was on Rabunia, there was a young man, fresh recruit, and he was with the Fighting 69th, and he had a friend who had joined up for Operation Iraqi Freedom and had been killed. And the young man about whom I am referring, his name was Cornelius, and our nickname for him was Corn Dog. And the whole reason that Corn Dog decided to join was to honor his friend.
Yeah.
And I think that, the kids are buried under a lot of crap, but I really do feel that desire to be a part of something greater than yourself and the hero's heart is something that really ultimately cannot be quenched. And so I think we'll see it, and leadership is definitely the answer.
Allie, so well put. Absolutely. Thanks so much for hanging on there. I appreciate you bringing that to us.
You're welcome, sir.
All right, have a good talk to you. Merry Christmas. She said that probably better than I could have, but yes, I agree. Grades are in, by the way. John from Huntsville says, Butters, you put on a fantastic performance today. You get an A++. Phil, your performance today earns you a solid A, just a solid A, just an A. But today's winner is obviously Lee from Huntsville with an A++. Also, Phil, I just want to say, I hope your Christmas survey has the question, which type of Christmas tree do you prefer, real or fake? Does it not have that? That would have been a good question. We may make that a question tomorrow just for the audience. How about that? But John from Huntsville brings up the point. If you are on Twitter or Instagram, so is Right Side Radio. I would encourage you, please, go to the Right Side Radio Instagram or Twitter page and do the survey. Just like five questions. Like things like, are you through with your shopping yet, yada, yada. But the last question, of course, is the most important, and that is, was Die Hard a Christmas movie or was it not? And we're going to read the results out tomorrow. So, yeah, check them out. And by the way, you can also follow me personally on my own personal Twitter page, @Sin, that's S-E-N, @Sin Phil Williams. Just jump on in there where you can and hang on. What else we got here? Kenneth from Somerville says, it's not the same Army as yours or mine. No way I'd encourage my son or grandson to serve under the current leadership. God save us because our military is lost. Well, that's current leadership, though, bro. And by the way, thanks for your service, Ken. But I really do believe, change out that leadership, start moving things forward, a whole new day. Raven from Russellville says, when your country calls, do the thing. He says, I'm an old man now. If my country needs me, I'm in. Duty, honor, country. That's what it's all about. Appreciate you. Scott from Somerville, he brings up Pat Tillman. Yes, indeed. Tracy from Athens says, getting us in our fields this afternoon, Senator. It's what I do. Tracy, it's what I do. And then Robbie from Montana says, I really believe the military's future finest is still holding out for a Republican president. I do not think that is wrong. I think you nailed it. I think part of it is leadership. There's a commander-in-chief right now who is feckless, who inspires no confidence, who embarrassed and abused the military in the pullout of Afghanistan, who threw them under the bus with the whole thing about getting the vaccine mandates. And I think a change in leadership is coming, and I do believe that the kids out there that would join are still there. Give them a reason to join. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.